to look at a new study on the relationship between football and brain injuries. First, it was just announced this afternoon that White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci is out. Scaramucci just stepped into that role 11 days ago. This is the latest high-profile departure from President Trump's administration. On Friday afternoon, the president announced General John F. Kelly as the new White House Chief of Staff on Twitter. Kelly has been serving as the Secretary of Homeland Security. The tweet effectively dismissed then White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus of Wisconsin. Here's a clip of Priebus from an interview he did Friday night on CNN. His first interview since his departure from the White House was announced.
The president has a right to change directions. The president has a right to hit a reset button. I think it's a good time to hit the reset button. I think he was right to hit the reset button. And I think that it was something that I think the White House needs. I think it's healthy. And I support him in it.
Molly Ball joins us now. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers U.S. politics. Molly, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here.
And we just heard a clip of Reince Priebus sounding not like someone who's just been quickly dismissed from the White House, a job he hadn't held for a terribly long period of time. His tenor seems as though he's in understanding with the president. What do you make of that clip, his tone?
Yeah, and I also spoke to Reince Priebus yesterday, and it was very similar. He praises the president. He says he was not fired, actually. He says that he resigned, although we didn't find out about it until the president announced in a tweet that he had been replaced. But he is clearly still on the team, at least conceptually. He still sees himself as a supporter of the president. He praises the things that have been accomplished, both by him when he was chief of staff and under this administration. There is some speculation that he is potentially angling for some kind of position still connected to the White House. He hasn't decided what he's going to do next.
And Priebus, they're saying the president has a right to hit the reset button, and it looks as though the president hit the reset button again, because now Anthony Scaramucci has also been let go or resigned from the position of director of communications. What do you think happened today? Why is Scaramucci gone?
Well, we're still sifting through what happened here because it did just happen. But it does seem like, the official line from the White House press secretary, Sarah Sanders, this afternoon was that the president viewed Anthony Scaramucci's comments last week to The New Yorker, the infamous tirade about the other White House staffers, that the president viewed that as inappropriate. He didn't like the vulgarity therein. Of course, the reporting from inside the White House is that actually the president enjoyed that little tirade. And we've certainly heard this president engage in similar language himself. So that appears to be sort of the cover story. But the symbolism of it certainly is the assertion of authority by the new chief of staff, John Kelly. General Kelly was the director of the Department of Homeland Security. He came in on the condition that he would have a certain level of authority that Reince Priebus never really had, the authority to hire and fire people and have the staff actually report to him, not always going around him to the president. Scaramucci hadn't even officially started in his White House position, but Kelly viewed him as a troublemaker, and it was Kelly's decision to clean house and to get a fresh start.
So we know at this point that it was General Kelly's decision.
That's what we've been told. I mean, nothing is ever certain in this sort of hall of mirrors of this White House. But yes, this is being described as General Kelly's decision and his move to get a, quote, fresh start.
It's interesting because that echoes the language of Reince Priebus, who said the president had a right to hit the reset button. And then this afternoon we had White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders releasing a statement saying Mr. Scaramucci felt it was best to give Chief of Staff John Kelly a clean slate and the ability to build his own team. So does that seem to indicate that there could be more big changes coming?
It's possible, and there are certainly rumblings. I mean, there is still now an open communications director position, for example. There's also an opening at the Department of Homeland Security. There's the continuing drama between Trump and his attorney general, Jeff Sessions. There's the continuing drama of the rumblings surrounding the special counsel, Robert Mueller. And it is possible to take a step back from the events of the last several days and see it as part of a single shakeup, one that has been in the works talks really for quite a while. If you go back a week and a half to the dismissal of Sean Spicer, it's possible this is one sort of slow motion shakeup and all the pieces are still falling into place. And we haven't yet seen the end of it. Certainly the hope of the White House and its allies and the Republicans in Congress, they are hoping that once the pieces do fall into place, the result will be greater discipline and a more effective operation.
And earlier today, President Trump tweeted that there is no White House chaos as he sees it. What do you make of that statement coming from the president in the midst of the health care failure and these high profile shakeups on his staff?
I think anyone who reports on this White House would say it's just factually untrue. And the president, you know, obviously likes to create his own reality. But it is an objective fact that this White House has been highly chaotic. There has been a lot of drama. There has been a staff that is in turmoil and constantly leaking and constantly internally competitive and constantly unsure of their own positions. And you know, the president doing things like making the order on transgender soldiers last week without even telling the Pentagon. That's a pretty chaotic way to operate. So I don't think anyone who is engaged with this White House on a day-to-day basis would agree with the statement that there's no chaos.
Now, the position of White House Communications Director, that's an important position, as is obviously Chief of Staff. But do we have any idea who might be stepping into that role now that Scaramucci is gone?
We don't have any idea. And this is a position that's actually been vacant for most of Trump's presidency. If you remember all the way back during the transition, this position was given to Jason Miller, who was a veteran of the campaign, very well liked within the veterans of the Trump campaign, but withdrew his name for personal reasons. And then there was no White House communications director for a long time, or perhaps Sean Spicer was technically both communications director and press secretary, which was a very difficult arrangement, certainly hard on Sean. And then a communications director who nobody knew much about, Mike Dubke, was named, and he was completely behind the scenes, almost never made a public statement, didn't appear on television, didn't put his name on press releases. It was hard to see what his role really was. And from what we've heard, he just never really became a part of the operation, and he eventually sort of left without a trace. And Scaramucci, meanwhile, has been in the background this whole time. He's close to Trump. He wants a position in the White House. He at first was supposed to get the public liaison position, but then had trouble unloading his investment firm. And so he was offered various things. He was given a position at the Export-Import Bank. And so he was someone who'd just been sort of circling the White House. And from what we understand, one of the rumors going around is that Jared and Ivanka behind the scenes were sort of using Scaramucci as an instrument to push out Reince. The palace intrigue is sort of constant, and you never know what to believe about this White House. But that is one of the things that we're hearing. And so that work was kind of accomplished.
Does the fact, do you think, that Scaramucci has been ousted or has resigned, does that indicate to you that President Trump might be more willing to work with his new chief of staff, maybe even be more malleable?
Well, yes and no. I would say on the one hand, the Trump-Priebus relationship was always troubled, and Trump does not have the same history with General Kelly. General Kelly at this point seems to be someone he respects and does not have any bad blood with, in fact, greatly respects the job that General Kelly has done at Homeland Security, where one of the signature accomplishments of this White House so far is the dramatic decrease in the number of border crossings on the southern border. And that falls under the Homeland Security purview. So in the sense that General Kelly starts out on a better page with the president, and he's taken this forceful action immediately, suggests that he may, in fact, be able to do better. On the other hand, all you have to do is look at someone like Jeff Sessions to realize you can be as loyal as is humanly possible to Donald Trump, and he can still turn on you. He can still decide that you're no longer in his good graces. Loyalty with Donald Trump is absolutely a one-way street, and it's something that many, many people who've worked for him have found out the hard way.
We're talking with Molly Ball right now, staff writer for The Atlantic, now talking about the ouster of Reince Priebus as White House Chief of Staff, and also Anthony Scaramucci, who now has departed as Communications Director. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this news from the White House? How do you think these staffing changes will affect the politics in Washington, D.C., and the policy that may come out of it? You can call 800-642-1234 and share your thoughts, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Stay with us on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're talking to Molly Ball now from The Atlantic about breaking news that White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci is out just 10 days after he started that new job. And we're also speaking now about Reince Priebus and how he has exited the White House as Chief of Staff, looking at his political career, including his time in Wisconsin. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think about these departures from the White House? Do you hope that former White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus becomes an active participant in Wisconsin politics again? And why do you think President Trump is shaking up his staff so greatly in the past few days? And do you think that could change with General Kelly as the new White House Chief of Staff? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Molly, we switch gears now and focus on Reince Priebus. Now, no other White House Chief of Staff has been forced out after such a short time. Why do you think that it happened this way with Reince Priebus?
Well, as I was talking about before, he always had a bit of bad blood with Trump, going back to his tenure as the Republican National Committee chairman. And I have known Reince since he first ran for RNC chairman way back in 2011, when he was the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party and the general counsel to the RNC. And he was someone who always viewed himself as a sort of loyal soldier for the Republican Party, and who came under a whole lot of pressure in 2016 when, on the one hand, Trump put him under a lot of pressure, believing he was being treated unfairly. And on the other hand, a lot of the other candidates and other Republicans believed that he was too compliant to Trump in sort of allowing this outsider to come in and effectively take over the party despite not being a traditional Republican. And so he, you know, to his allies, he was someone who had sort of made the best of a difficult situation. But behind the scenes, he did cringe at a lot of the things that Trump would do or say. And in fact, when the Access Hollywood tape came out in October, he suggested to Trump that he might have to drop out of the race. And Trump never forgave him for that. Trump viewed Reince as someone who was weak and someone who was not necessarily loyal to him. So as chief of staff, he was never fully empowered. He never really had the authority. No one ever really believed that he spoke for the president, or that he was that you could take his word as what the president's word, that he had that sort of executive authority that a chief of staff is supposed to have. So it was a very high pressure situation. It was a very difficult tenure for him. And when I spoke to him yesterday, he sounded a bit relieved to be out of that pressure cooker.
One arguably important role that he did serve as White House Chief of Staff was that he was a link to the establishment Republican Party and also to Paul Ryan. And now that's gone.
That's right. And there really are not a lot of traditional Republicans in high profile positions at the White House anymore. I would say that the last one standing is Vice President Mike Pence. Now, there are some staff members who come from, you know, the ranks of the traditional Republican Party, and certainly the agencies are filled with traditional conservatives in the executive branch. But to the extent that this sort of, you know, Game of Thrones in the White House is a larger symbolic wrestling match between different ideologies, different policy visions, Reince had been cast more or less accurately as the voice of the Republican establishment, the voice of conservatives like Paul Ryan, who are interested in advancing advancing conservative policy. And he obviously did remain very close to Paul Ryan. Part of his selling point as a chairman was the whole creation of the conservative infrastructure in Wisconsin that helped Paul Ryan and Scott Walker become stars in the National Party. So a lot of people are wondering whether now that Priebus is not there, Trump will turn more to some of the populist instincts that he displayed during the campaign, the sort of Breitbart-style populist nationalism of a Steve Bannon, or the more sort of moderate liberal vision of a Gary Cohn or of Jared and Ivanka. I think there's no telling. I think that Trump has never articulated a clear policy vision since he's been president. He's never said, you know, here's the road I want to go down in terms of the things he wants to do. But that's certainly a possibility with Priebus out.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Denny with us in Manitowoc. Denny, hi.
Hi. This whole thing is interfering with national security, with people in, out, and whatever, especially removing or moving the head of the Homeland Security Agency without anybody lined up to replace him.
Denny, thanks for that. Is there a vulnerability there, leaving the country for the time being without an acting or a head of Homeland Security?
You know, one of the really remarkable parts of this episode is that the Department of Homeland Security was not notified when this decision was made that they were about to lose their boss. And so when reporters asked who's the acting secretary, the department literally did not have an answer on Friday. And so, you know, I am not an expert on what does or doesn't put national security at risk, but I think it's part of a larger pattern where so many of these executive agencies have not been fully staffed, have not even had people nominated to the positions that need to be confirmed by the Senate. And so we hear lots of stories of different agencies, from the State Department to the Energy Department, which of course guards America's nuclear weapons, just not having enough people to actually run the place on a day-to-day basis. And that is really hurting the functioning of government.
Now, Molly, going back to the Reince-Priebus story, you talked to him. And he said he thought he won. He said, look, there's a Republican in the White House. We have Republicans in both branches of the legislature. We have a conservative appointee on the Supreme Court. Is that how his work and his time is being perceived? Do people see him as a winner in Washington?
I wouldn't say they perceive him as an immediate winner because he was just ousted. But we were reflecting, I think, more broadly on his entire career in national politics, starting with his election to the chairmanship of the Republican National Committee when, you know, back in 2011, the Republicans had just won the midterm elections on the strength of the Tea Party, but they were very much in disarray. There were these warring factions and doubts about whether they could they had what it took to win presidential elections particularly, and the party was deeply in debt, deeply disorganized at the sort of management level. And so he said that he could fix it, and he said that conservatives could come together and could find a way to win without having to compromise their principles. And so in his view, his whole job as RNC chairman was to make the Republican Party win again. And just by the numbers, that is what happened. There are, as he pointed out, there are historic numbers of Republicans in all branches of government down to the state legislative level, the largest number since 1928. Now, you might point out that what happened after 1928 was not particularly good for the Republican Party. But numerically, that's the case he's making.
Now, you talked to Charlie Sykes, former conservative talk show host in Wisconsin, now an MSNBC commentator. What did he have to say as someone who was a never-Trumper? What did he say about the ouster of Reince-Priebus?
Well, and Charlie, people probably know, Charlie and Reince have been friends for a long time, came from the same conservative milieu in Wisconsin, but took different, sharply divergent paths in 2016, where Charlie Sykes was horrified by Trump and became a never-Trumper and actually gave up his popular Milwaukee radio show rather than continue in a party that he thought had been corrupted. Whereas Priebus, you know, fell into line and became a loyal soldier for a party headed by Trump. And so in Charlie Sykes' view and the view of the sort of never-Trump conservatives, Priebus sold out the party. They believe that he took the Republican Party and gave it away to someone who was absolutely lacking in conservative principles, and that there was much more he could have done to stand up to Trump. They believe that he didn't do enough during the campaign to punish Trump for various things that he did that should have been considered unacceptable. You know, very early on, the RNC expressed disapproval of then-candidate Trump's comments about John McCain, but after that, as he continued to spew those kinds of insults, the party sort of never uttered a peep. There are various complaints about the way debates and other things were handled. But the upshot for someone like Charlie Sykes is that Reince Priebus basically made his bed and now he has to lie in it because, you know, he knew what he was getting into. What Charlie said to me is, you know, I feel bad for the guy, but it's not like he wasn't warned.
And Molly, as we wrap up, just a few seconds left, what are you going to be watching for to be seeing what direction the Trump White House takes next now that we've had these big staff changes?
Well, I think everyone wants to know if anything's going to change. I have never wanted to predict that anything is going to change in Trump's orbit just because his patterns are so consistent. And I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for him to suddenly start acting, quote unquote, presidential, because I've watched people predict that for the last 2 years. And he just continues to be the person that he is. But there is certainly a lot of hope, particularly Republicans on Capitol Hill who've been so frustrated by what they see as a missed opportunity to advance conservative policies. They are really hoping that something turns around or that some discipline is imposed just so they can have a little bit more order and less distraction.
Molly, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That was Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic, where she covers U.S. politics, with us there to talk about news that Anthony Scaramucci is out as White House communications director. And we also talked about President Trump's removal of Wisconsin's Reince Priebus as White House chief of staff. You'll find a link to Molly's piece about the political career of Priebus on the Central Time Facebook page.